There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Right, and levels right. Are good.
Do you want to introduce this one, Helen?
Yep. Pamphilon.
Yeah.
Good. Pamphilon. I mean, it's not.
I mean, you can say it less like it's a difficult to pronounce Chinese word.
All right, I get nervous all of a sudden.
A little bit less like you're reading ancient scripture.
Right, excellent. Okay, shall we
get
start?
Get thee to the Pamphilon.
I don't know, I just make out the symbols. Pamphilon. This was his tomb.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Without the staccato rhythm, I think we're good.
All right, I'll do it more sort of lyrically. Okay, yeah. Ready?
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie?
What?
We've got Sam Pamphilon on the podcast!
Oh, yay! Hey, guys.
Hey, did I say your name okay?
You did. It was mellifluous, the way you said it.
Thank you, Sam Pamphilon. I will call you Sam Pamphilon for the whole podcast, because I can say it nicely.
You can.
We are so excited to have... Sam is actually back. You're a return guest.
I know, I'm very honoured.
Mm, last time you had the other bloke with you, but thank God you've got rid of him.
Yeah, he's... He goes on a bit. He takes up too much of but I'm going to have to do this on my own now, aren't I? And
just yeah. Kind of,
I'll crumble without him.
That's it. You were in a double act. Well, you still sort of technically are.
It's like marriage. You're always kind of involved. If you're married... Hang on, look. This is foreshadowing. If you're married someone
yes.
and you have kids,
mm-hmm.
you are always going to be connected to that person via the kids. And so
yes.
like me and Steve, it's like the things that we did... Are the babies, the horrible, ugly, forgotten babies.
You're painting
but
a lovely picture
always,
with your words.
We are always going to be forever, in a way, a pair.
Right,
you
okay.
know, whether we're doing something actively or not.
Right.
Oh,
that's a lovely thing
no,
to
I mean,
say.
That was, when I said that, I felt that was horrible and scary. You're like, oh, like, no, I'm forever linked to this. Have you met him? I'm linked to this man forever.
Chained. He is yeah, chained.
Fair enough. Well, for anyone who didn't hear the last podcast you were on, who are you, Sam Pamphilon?
I'm Sam Pamphilon.
Correct.
Then you say what you do? Or
yes, yeah.
I don't know.
A bit more information.
I've not done anything like this.
Say what you like. Say your sexual preferences. We don't mind. Go for it.
Sexual preference. Doesn't preference make it sound like you're choosing?
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, you can with sex, you know, that's how
it works. Oh, yeah. Oh, it only means acts, not gender and sexuality.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, like, you know.
What you like.
Do you
mean, like, do's and don'ts?
Do you like it up the back way? Do you like it around the front?
I like it always. I think my favourite is 66. that's just cuddling. Just spooning.
Route 66. Yeah.
Oh,
I like it.
I like
that's where he gets his kicks, all right.
Yeah.
Sure is. Nice. But also, apart from cuddling.
Yeah, apart from cuddling.
Definitely on the backside, of course.
Yes, obvs.
66, is it like a yin-yang cuddle? Is it you cuddle their
no,
feet?
No, 66 is just spooning.
Yeah.
Oh, I
double
see.
Double spoon, like
or
the
when
same
things
way.
Get frosty in the relationship, and 11.
Back to back.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so what do you do for a living or something? I don't know.
Well, before... The
Dark Times.
The Dark Times.
Yeah.
I was working as an actor
uh-huh.
and writing a comedy show for Edinburgh, and I got it all nearly done. And I just done my first hour preview, and it was going really well. And then lockdown happened, and I thought, do you know what? This is going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. So what happened is my ex-wife, she took the boys up to Yorkshire pre-lockdown, figured they'd be in the countryside with their grandparents. There's a ride-on tractor. They're going to love it. Better than being stuck in a two-bed flat half the time. In London, so let's do that. And then that turned into like 9 weeks. But the idea was well, it's a good bit of time without the kids, and then I can, you know, really hone the show. And, you know, I'll broadcast online. OnlyFans came to me and said, hey, why don't you have an OnlyFans so you can make money? I'll do that, and I'll do shows. And I had it all planned out, and I didn't do fucking any of it.
No.
My inspiration, for want of a better word, my ambition just dried up, because it just became about, what are we having for lunch? And are we going to do any squats today? And let's go for our state-sanctioned walk around the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of started living this quite sort of North Korean lifestyle.
Yes.
Which I really fit into. But the only problem was, is I'd go online and people would be like, hey, watch my new BBC podcast thing. And you'd be like, oh, fuck all you guys.
I don't want that.
Being like, hey, I'm just really using this time to think about my mental health. I was like, do you know what? I have to come off Twitter. I'm going to have to come off Facebook. I couldn't deal with it.
No.
And I never thought I would. I was always on Twitter, always just checking what everyone else is saying. And I think it was just dissolving my morale.
Yeah.
So by coming off social media, I stopped comparing myself. As my therapist said, and I don't know if it's a quote, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't think she made that up, but it is a thing.
There's probably a big book that those people have that have loads of that. When they're stuck.
That's Samantha Fox, I think, originally.
Samantha Fox, yeah.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Another podcast the other day.
But she only shouts it when she comes, apparently.
Want her on the podcast now.
I did it, the podcast with these two 30-year-olds the other day, and I was talking about the video game Samantha Fox Strip Poker, which I'm sure you're familiar with from the spectrum. So I was talking about Sam Fox, and they were like, who is that? And I was like, you don't know who Sam Fox is? And I'd never felt so old, so I went, well, she was the first woman to win the Booker Prize, do you know? So that made me feel better. I don't know if they believe me.
But to be honest with you, I've never been very good at Steve, my comedy partner, is very good at fan engagement or viewer engagement, and he streams and does all that. So the whole point is you maintain a relationship with these people. I just wanted to try and maintain a relationship with my girlfriend and my kids. And I just don't have, I'm just not that relentless. I think to sort of be kind of an Instagrammy person or a regular podcast person or influencer person or streamer, you need to have this relentless drive to do it.
Yeah.
When no one is asking you to do it.
Yes.
And I don't have that.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you're not with your double act partner and you're having to do it on your own. Because we did do a thing called Scummy Night In every Friday night, where at 8:30 we would do a little Instagram show for half an hour.
I never missed it.
Fuck you. You were one of our stalkers. So we're not a stalker. We had these hecklers. That was like
13-year-old boys. Yeah, we go like, MILFs. And then they go, oh, your grandma is dead.
Yeah. That's, your nan is dead.
That's so cutting, because it's so true.
And I was like, lads, she was 100. She had a good innings, boys. Yeah, it was so funny.
We're at the point where we can make jokes about it. You're teasing the wrong people.
Yeah, yeah. So I really liked that. I enjoyed that. But yeah, there were
as an insult, your nan is dead.
Your nan is dead. I'm 43, boys. But no, it's hard if you haven't got another person. I find it much easier to have another person that I'm obligated to do something with than, you know, otherwise I just sit on my arse all day.
That's why I like the acting.
Yeah.
Because someone goes, you do this well. And you go, okay, I'll do that well. And they go, okay, now you can do that on the camera. And you go, okay. And then someone goes, you had to be here then. And this person's going to take you there. Mm. They'll tell you when it's ready. All you got to do is do that thing that you really like doing, which is the pretending.
Yeah.
Someone else was going to brush your hair and paint your eyes and all that stuff. I'm like, that for me is, that's the stuff. Like,
and
you get
money at the end
and
of
someone
that.
Gives, yeah, yeah. And they have to pay you within a certain amount of time. It's almost like it's a functioning industry.
Yeah.
Whereas the other stuff that is so holistic, where you have to do everything, I'm never going to be across it. Mm. I'm a good partner, but I'm not.
You're a team player.
That's a very good thing.
But you can't all be. One of my favourite quotes from Absolutely Fabulous is that you can't have two racehorses in the pen; they'll kick each other to death. So you need
lovely.
You need a racehorse and a donkey.
I'm going to get you a greetings card with that on.
So,
that's
guys,
a lovely story.
Which one's the thoroughbred?
I'm the donkey.
And you're the proud donkey.
I'm really happy to be the donkey. Everyone loves a donkey. They're really comfy and they're
but sometimes
reliable,
you're the one
massive
carrying
vaginas.
Massive donkey vaginas. Loose, flapping, prolactic donkey vaginas.
Massive ears, but really comfortable.
But with the mules, you carry the weight.
Yes.
Sometimes you carry the weight. But we do it well.
We do it well.
What I'm saying is Ellie is a thoroughbred. She is the show horse.
I'm at a gymkhana. That's right. I've got a top hat on. Do they wear top hats? That's not the horses, is it? That's the people.
No, that's the man.
She goes fast and everyone looks at her and she's got the expensive cum.
Yeah.
But we're the ones carrying all the emotional baggage.
Yes, exactly right.
Maintaining.
Yeah. Oh.
With your little straw hats on the beach.
We've really gone as far as we can with that metaphor.
I think you've taken us there, as I knew you would. Sorry, sir. There's a man walking by with a child. So the window. Oh, what were we talking about? Did you get... Because you used to be a chef, right? Did you get more into the cooking over lockdown? Or was it another, like, can't be arsed with that thing?
Got loads into it. Because every meal then... Because you could only go to the shops once a day.
Wasn't that a treat, though? Didn't that feel spoiling?
Well, we had a Lidl right next to us.
Oh, my
people
God.
People were not so... You'd have, like, 10 angry minutes in Lidl. And then the queues would be
puffy, outrageous. Puffy.
But there was no food, so you had to become quite good at, you know, kind of going, well,
foraging.
I guess we're having haddock and porridge again, or whatever it is.
Did you have a signature lockdown dish?
Hey, I had several. One of my partner's favourites was just a breast of duck. So you cook it on the skin side down.
Yes, crispy.
Render it slowly in a cold pan, bring it up to temperature.
Mm.
Really render that skin down so it's very sort of thin and crisp. And
nice.
Then cook it, finish it off in the oven, you know, finish the pan with butter, take it out, drain it. It's well seasoned. And you let that rest. And then we found these beetroots that were really nice. And so we made, roasted the beetroot,
I
love beetroot.
It
does taste of soil, but it's tasty soil.
So it makes you piss pink. Maybe you're into that, though. I don't know.
I'm colourblind, but, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten that. Yeah. Oh, how do you know if you're ill, then? Because if you can't...
I don't know. But after I eat beetroot, I'm like, you have to go, like, I have to get someone to check. That's the only thing. I will die of bowel cancer because I'm like, is that red? Is that brown? As long as I don't have to wipe any more than 15 times, I assume I'm fine.
What colour do you see then? When we would see red, what do you see? Do you see in black and white like a dog?
No, I see the colour that I see. It's just the information goes to my brain all wrong.
But what colour is?
Do you want to start? We need a colour chart.
It's the same fucking colour.
What? So then you're not colourblind.
Don't start pointing at things that are obviously red and going, "What colour's that?" You're about to point at the sky and go, "What colour's the sky?" Aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Of course you are. It's blue.
All right.
Fucking Stevie Wonder knows the sky's blue. He's sung about it.
When you look at that bag, what?
Red bag. Really clear.
You're not colourblind. Then it is red.
I am colourblind.
What colour is the sofa?
That's a tricky one. Because what we got there is like an in-betweeny thing. That, to me, could be purple, which I think it is, or a dark blue, or it could be a green.
It's a greeny dark blue.
There you go! See, you're all fucking colourblind.
It's not purple!
Your cushions are mustard?
Yes.
That's true. You're not colourblind, Sam.
No, it's just sometimes when things...
You're just doing it for attention.
No, we've talked about this before. Don't tease me about my colourblindness, okay? I couldn't be a jet pilot because of it.
Is that the only reason? That's
so
the only reason.
He's not featured in Top Gun 2.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. No, those are actors, Helen.
Oh, God. I keep getting confused.
Though I bet I wouldn't be allowed to be in Top Gun 2.
Why?
Just not fat enough. Or it's too fat.
Val Kilmer's not in Top Gun 2.
There's a very good reason. Have you seen Val Kilmer? He had throat cancer.
Oh, there we go.
No, but that's another thing. I'm not saying that's why he's not here.
So I'm not allowed to take the piss out of your colourblindness. You can take the piss out of Val Kilmer's
throat
cancer.
He's not fucking here for long.
He listens.
He does not listen to this. He's fine. He's recuperating. He's fine.
He's one of our hecklers, Scummy Mummies Friday Night Live. I mean, he's always telling me Nan's dead, old Val Kilmer.
And Val Kilmer. We've had to block him, actually.
Although in the film Heat, this is niche, watch the film Heat again.
Right.
He's got one big elbow. He's got one really long sticky out of the elbow.
Really?
I'm not even fucking joking. Google it at home if you're listening to this. Val Kilmer's elbow. In Heat, he's going to shoot a gun and he's like, his bottom arm, the forearm, when it's bent at a right angle, goes further than his...
It's like a hinge.
It's like he's got a hinge. It's like he's wearing a suit of armour just made out of elbow skin.
Like wings.
Val Kilmer's elbow does sound like an indie film that perhaps you should star in. Val Kilmer's elbow. I apologise, Sam, for taking the piss out of
your I apologise for making a terrible comment about Val Kilmer's, you know, life-threatening illness, which is not funny.
No, it isn't.
But the joke was rather that... no, I did make a joke about that. I wish I hadn't. But it's rather that he gained a lot of weight.
Oh, so now we're fat
Which is fine. It's fine. But that's why he's not in Top Gun 2, because The volleyball scene would be awful. Him all fat and smoking through a hole in his neck.
No, I think they should have made that, and they should have put you in the volleyball scene as well.
Okay? No, because I'm...
Okay. Oh, stop throwing that melon at me. What do you mean it's a ball?
No, I mean, I have a similar sort of gelatinous feel to my midriff that I don't think I could have done that. Tom Cruise, of course, is still...
Oh, he's in peak condition, always. He's just always perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely Tom Cruise. Yeah, I won't hear a bad word about him.
Not because he's very litigious.
No, so. No, exactly, yeah. Right. Well, I'm scared.
It's going to be a shame for you when he dies and it all comes out. When he dies in 100 fucking years.
It's protected by the aliens, so
he gets sucked into the spaceship.
All the blood he's been drinking or whatever it is. What are they doing in that freaky blue building?
Well, how would you know if it's blue?
I don't know. I think it might be lilac. Google it. The Scientology building. There's...
Oh, should we get into some nitty gritty, Helen?
I think so. Let's do some.
It feels like we've already got into.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We've done a lot of nitty. It's time for the gritty.
Right. Okay. So you were here a couple of years ago, Sam, and since then things have changed a bit in your life. We would say, like me, you are now a single parent.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a kind of very lucky single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I met my partner, current partner, on Bumble about a month after me and my wife separated,
mm-hmm.
which is quite soon.
Yeah.
I did lie to her and say it was my partner.
But we all
at the time,
do
I was
that.
Like, she's like, well, when did it happen? I was like, it was quite recent. It was a few months or something. Like
that's
that.
What I was saying.
I didn't
say.
Want to say 3 weeks.
No, that's very fresh. Yeah.
But, you know, as you know, the relationship had been deteriorating for a while. It wasn't like it was a fresh wound. It was more like we were cauterizing the stump.
Yeah.
We'd given up on reattaching the foot.
You were massaging it with vitamin E cream.
Yeah, we're like, let's stop putting aloe on this and let's just burn the end. This is done. All right.
Such a lovely metaphor for the end of a marriage. Yeah. Burning a stump.
I've said awful stuff about Val Kilmer as well. And Scientology.
That's a tradition.
So I've been very, very lucky. My my children didn't meet my current partner.
Mm-hmm.
Until we were together 6 months.
Yeah.
I kept it separate.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I had to live with my ex-wife for over a year.
After
we separated.
Okay,
because what happened was, is we separated and then we went, okay, well, I guess we have to sell the house.
Yeah.
And that took 14 months.
Oh, okay.
Now, neither of us could afford, not traditionally, it would be the man's role to go and get a horrible flat and then be all sad dad at Christmas in it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't afford to do that. So what happened is I slept on our couch for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Over a year. No, about a year. But then, so when I was at home looking after the children, I would... it's all very complicated. I'd either sleep on the couch or I would sleep in my marital bed. My wife would sleep with her partner at the time, or she would sleep in the loft. So we kind of had this weird system going on where... Yeah. We would always try to have, if it's your duty with the children, you're home with the kids and the other person is elsewhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes those things overlapped.
Yeah.
You ended up sleeping with her partner.
I had sex with her partner. No, but one time actually I did... so we were kind of getting into this sort of modern rhythm where...
Is that what you call it? Yeah.
Very modern rhythm.
Just at the last minute.
But there was one moment when I was in my ex-wife and her partner in the loft room upstairs. And I'd gone, my stuff was all somewhere else. So I was brushing, I had a toothbrush upstairs. And I was upstairs and I think they were still asleep. And I'm brushing my teeth and I look in the mirror and kind of go, oh, this is his toothbrush.
Jesus.
But there's one story which I was wanting to put into my stand-up show and I haven't done it yet because there is no stand-up show. But there was one day, so we were trying so hard at the beginning to be civil. We really were working at it. And for a lot of it, we succeeded. There were moments where we were really civil. There was a period afterwards where it really, really broke down and now it's better again.
Yeah.
But at one point, our car wasn't working. They put too small a battery in it. So someone was coming to, from the, you phone up the people and they come and they were coming to jump start the car. But my ex-wife wasn't going to be there. So she said to her partner, could you meet the man who's going to fix the car and then drive the car around? for an hour to make sure the battery is charged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, fine. I said, cool. So I was away. I was like, okay, that's fine. Also, then she messaged me, said, look, my boyfriend wasn't going to stay over last night, but has. But he's got to go to work. And he spilt something on his clothes. Can he borrow some pants, socks, and a top? And I said, yeah, that's fine. But then I suddenly realised that at that moment, there was a man who had slept in a bed with my wife, fucked my wife.
Sorry, it's not funny.
Put on all of my clothes.
Oh, Sam.
And was driving around in my car. Myself. I just thought it's so perfect. You know, it's so modern, but he's, yeah.
It's like a single white female, but weirdo.
No, but it was nothing to do with him, nothing like his fault at all. Like, he was just being incredibly helpful.
Yes, yes,
and, you
of
know,
course.
And he's been nothing but, you know, but nothing but civil and helpful, really.
Have you ever told Sam the story of the time you went to your now ex-husband's house
and
with his mother?
Yeah, so the first time I met my ex's parents, they're quite la-di-da. And I arrived and I was 19, I was at uni and I was wearing all charity shop clothes, you know, basically clothes tied together with some string. Anyway, so she said, oh, Helen, we've got some friends coming over. Can you just pop upstairs with me? And so I went upstairs and she had laid out several different outfits of her clothes on the bed. And she stood at the door and then said, just pick one of those outfits and come down when you're ready. So what were you meant? God. What was I meant to do?
You were very young as well.
I was very young. And I was like, all right, I'm trying to make a good impression on these, you know, lovely people. so I put on his mum's clothes. I know. And I walked downstairs like wearing like this white frilly shirt. And I just remember him going, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, wearing your mum's clothes? And he's like, why? I was like, I don't know, I'm scared. Like, and so I was wearing his mother's clothes as the, you know, being presented to their friends. I was like, but these just things happened.
And then you went outside and had the best sex of your life.
Yeah, that's what's good. So instead of he'd walked up to you and been like, now that's the stuff.
Yeah. Hello, mummy.
Oh, just spritz on her perfume and there we're there.
Yeah. Well, you've been eating potpourri because I like it.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
But that, I think that is quite an unusual... Because so when you were first talking about that and you were saying and we lived in the house, you know, because Pete and I, before we got married, we split up for a bit and we lived together in the same house for a bit.
Yeah.
But we didn't have another partner in the house. I thought you meant that your ex-wife was going to stay with the partner.
No, because after a while, what happened... it was always kind of, you know, either me or my ex-wife would go, who didn't have child duty, would go and stay at someone else's house. Me with just my partner. And then after a while, once the doc got introduced to the kids, she would stay over, which was very weird because we would always come in and have to wash the sheets because you realise that other people are sleeping in the bed. And it was a bit uncomfortable. Like, we would much prefer to... stay at hers, but we couldn't have the kids at hers. So if I wanted to see her and I had the kids, she had to come over to mine. But there were a couple of times where, you know, I might have been, I was in the house collecting something and I might have heard something I didn't want to hear.
Oh, no!
Yeah, yeah. But but I did hear something once and I remember thinking, yeah, fair play.
You have fun.
I don't remember hearing it like that. I think he's doing something I wasn't. Fair play to him.
Oh, he's dressed her up in his mum's clothes.
Yeah, yeah. There's that smell of, you know, lilies and...
But would you... I mean, you didn't really have a choice at the time, but having lived through that situation, did it work or was it...
No.
No.
No, but I don't think divorce or separation works. I don't think... Right. I think it can be mitigated. So there are going to be times that we've had awful flare-ups and... I know I've been seeing a therapist who's been incredibly helpful. Get this. She works with people who work in the industry and she charged me such a low rate. And then when she realised I'd lost all my work, throughout lockdown, she's been counselling me for free.
Wow.
Absolutely saved my bacon because just dealing with your ex-partner who, you know, can push buttons like no one else.
Yeah.
And then realising just how to sort of cope with it and deal with it. And it's changed my outlook on it, and I feel a lot kind of calmer. You know, and I'm not even going to make a joke about kind of having some sort of massive mountain or saying it won't last or I'm going to go bad again, because that's one of my issues, guys. I tend to downplay myself, and but yeah, we'll probably fuck it up at some point. But no, it's going all right.
It's interesting because when I announced I was separated during lockdown, there were a lot of people who got... Sorry, I'll start again.
You sound like Donald Trump.
Yeah. Are you upset or you just got corona?
No, it's just semen. So much semen.
How many semen were there?
Oh, just the two that last night. So it's fine. Okay, so it's interesting you mentioned about having to live with your partner during separation, because when I announced I was separated during lockdown, so many of our listeners and our followers on Instagram saying, I got separated during lockdown, because I think it was that sort of pressure cooker situation. Yeah. And so I'm sure there's lots of people listening now who had to live with their partner knowing that they were separated.
I was forced to stay, me and my ex-wife were forced to stay together for fiscal reasons, but we weren't housebound.
No. So you could still go to the pub, you could still go and hug your
mate. We didn't have to see each other a huge amount, just sort of with handover and stuff. But I can imagine it being, I don't know what, I mean, me and my current, I don't say current partner, that sounds foreboding, doesn't it? Like,
my present wife.
We only got to see each other a couple of times a week, and then we're living together, and then we're into lockdown. And so we went from kind of a few hours a week to all of it. And it's only now looking back thinking, oh, fuck, that could have gone really wrong. Yeah,
that's a big risk, isn't
it? Has it accelerated your relationship then? Is it gone quicker than the normal?
You've gone, like, relationship boot camp?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, like, those driving things you do, like, you can drive in 7 days. You're like, well, fuck, it takes ages to drive, doesn't it? But no. I think we're kind of more solidified, and we've been through our little rough and tumbles, and we've had a couple of rows, and we've definitely put our finger on what all my problems are. They are many and varied. We're really tight. It's really good.
But that's normal as well. Rouse, I remember talking to a friend who was quite young and he was about to get married. And he was like, oh, I'm really happy for you. And he's like, yeah, it's like great. And, you know, we just get on so well. We've never had a row. And I was like,
You kind of think with those people that there'll never be a row until there is a row. And then after that row, one of those people is dead.
It'll never be the same.
Oh my god!
And then they did have children, and then he was like, "Yeah, we row a lot more now. Do you?
Weird, that isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
You've got to have a what I didn't have with my ex was a way of, we did not communicate healthily. So it was very much her way or no way. And I would be very much like, fuck you. I've got some opinions and I don't know how to express them, but through anger. And so there wasn't a good way to communicate. We couldn't get stuff sorted at all. And both of us were left with, you know, I'll speak for me. I was left with sort of huge resentments, and I felt very kind of rejected and unheard. And now I'm in a situation where, you know, Dot will just look at me and go, what's in there? And I go, nothing. She's like, what is it? And I can say, and I'm not going to get someone going, well, fuck you. You shouldn't be like that. You know, I've got someone who has heard very early on all my deepest and darkest. She knew everything that had happened in my marriage.
Oh, really? So you put it out all on the table? You're
straight,
just like, this is...
Oh, straight away, yeah. Wow. And plus, when I met her, I was a complete fucking mess. Yeah. So it's quite easy in the state that I was often in to be incredibly open and honest, because...
But I would imagine, again, that's
fucked up.
Hard, but that must be hard for a lot of people, because that's very... You're making yourself very vulnerable by doing all that.
Yeah, but I mean, at the time I was like, well, I'm not going to have a relationship. Here are the reasons why you don't want a relationship with me. I'm doing this currently, and I like these things, and this is what's happened in my marriage. So, we'll just sleep together, and that's cool. And then... And she then somehow, despite all that, said, I would like a relationship, and I went, no! I'm going to break up with you because I'm a free spirit. What I meant was, I want to get drunk on my own for 3 more weeks. And then, so then she was off to do a play, and I went and sort of did what I thought was my thing, and it lasted maybe a week and a half. And I called her up and I said, I'm a mess, I miss you. And I didn't realise.
3 weeks. That's
so
funny.
It was less, I think.
That's what it was with Pete, though, exactly. Because we had this on and off when we were split up, before we were married and all that. We had this on and off thing that sort of eventually culminated in me going, I just can't, you know, you know, and him going, fine, and us going, we had to agree not to even see each other as friends for like a month, because it always, you know, friends, okay, sure.
Friends, sex friends.
Yeah. friends who couple.
Who's 66 and 69.
Yeah, yeah.
Not leavening yet, no.
So we probably had more sex in that year we were split up than we had in the previous 2 years.
Good sex, though. That's when
clandestine, naughty, what are we doing?
And we were supposed to not see each other for months. And after 3 weeks, he turned up. Basically, he'd had enough of his special cigarettes. to realise that just doing that and drinking tea out of measuring jugs, because you can't be bothered to wash a mug, is not a lifestyle.
It turns out you were bringing something to the table that could not be replaced by him alone.
Will never forget going round there one day, and he was literally drinking tea out of a Pyrex measuring jug. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, all the mugs are dirty. And I was like, no, but that, this is not the solution.
That's not why. You're not identifying the problem.
That's so glorious.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, so you're how far down the line? A couple of years down the line?
We sort of met in November 2018, so nearly 2 years with the some on and offing at the beginning.
Yeah. So you're a bit closer to the start. Have you got any advice for Helen on getting through the separation?
Well, we've had a brief chat before. I think you're way ahead of where I was, because I was delusional at first.
Okay.
I was like, we can do this so cool. Like, we can be so cool. We can totally talk about sex and stuff, and it's fine. I want you to be happy. And then she'd sort of say, I met this guy, I fucked this guy, he's got a great dick. And I'd be like, don't tell me any of those things. I thought I would, well, I don't want to hear it ever.
Yeah, she's not blaming that situation.
Then I was like, at first I was a bit like, the love isn't gone. I still have your, you know, I remember breaking down in tears and saying, I know we're breaking up. I said, but you're still my wife, and it still feels like...
Yeah, that's her.
I wasn't there yet.
Yeah. I know, because I found out this the other day about men don't like to hear about you talking about having sex with other men.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind it in a sexy situation.
Oh,
that's fine.
Okay.
Tell me about things you've done. That's great.
Yeah.
But in the very rare situation that we've been married for 6 years...
That's subsection.
And we've just broken up... I don't want to hear about any guy's dicks.
Okay. But you had to learn that. That's what I learned.
Yeah, because how else was I going to find that out? That's not stuff. You don't get that from books.
No, you get that from Sam Pamphilov.
Yeah,
from this fucking podcast.
I'll be putting that.
That is, you know, however cool you think you're being. So we did that, but then we realized, you know, what I realized quite quickly is that animosities that we had and baggage that I had wasn't going to go away just by splitting up. In fact, it was going to be amplified, because now I don't have to try and make up with you. Actually, I can just be angry with you all the time.
Yeah.
And so there was lots of that, you know, and lots of mean things were said. But at the end of the day, where we agree on it is that there are kids, and we both really love them. We're both good parents to them. And actually, the petty bullshit, if you can get past it, because petty bullshit... It's stuff.
It is stuff.
You can't just discount it. It's fucking real.
Absolutely. I mean, and the golden rule is just, yeah, you love your kids more than you hate your ex. That is that. That's what...
Eventually you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Eventually you do.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But the only reason I say that, getting out of the car, I was thinking of things that we might talk about. And I was thinking, you know, yeah, you love your kids more than you might hate your ex. Then how come I prioritise being so fucking angry?
Because you're allowed to be angry.
Yes, but...
Yeah, and also...
Making it your life's work, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, lying there seething and, you know, working out what kind of wicked, legal, lawyer-like fucking WhatsApp you can send to her that would just end her, you know, and a huge email, that's it, no one could read this and not be on my side. And then she just write back, actually, I think that's all bullshit. And you go, no! That will not stand up in court. And I've said that in WhatsApp messages. That would not stand up in court. We're not in court. We're just being dicks to each other on phones.
You're really cross. And you're working it out because...
And you type angrily.
Oh, yeah.
Which on a fucking blueberry was glorious. But on an iPad, it's horrible. All soft and there's nothing there. There's no haptic fucking feedback. That can fuck off. I want buttons. I want to be fucking typing into a typewriter.
Like, I want to send it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to roll it up and stick it in a thing on a pigeon's neck.
Bitch! Ding! Ding! Ding!
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, that's good that you're in a good place now, though, Sam. That's really nice.
I can feel that calm. I can taste it.
I can still access it. It's still there.
We'd have to talk about this if you don't want to, I'll cut it out. But I remember, I think how I found out about the breakup was you did a Facebook post.
Yes.
You and your ex-wife, you were looking sort of jolly and gorgeous. And it was a very sort of quite funny, sweet statement saying, look, this has happened, we're splitting up, but it's all cool and we're all going to be friends.
The manifesto, as it was.
Yeah, right. That was like your press release. Well, yeah.
I mean, looking back, that firstly, having done that annoys me. Because that's very twatty. It did serve a purpose in that I didn't have to tell everyone I saw. You remember seeing people? You remember when you'd see people?
Yeah, it's the head tilts. And,
So what's happened? You have to explain it. People know we've separated, but we're on good terms.
Because telling people that you've separated is okay for the first few people, but then it's just tiring and it's a pain in the ass, and you're just like, I don't want to... You don't need to know why or whatever.
So we kind of set out a stall. But the issue with it came that by the time I would see people, they would have read the thing where we're like, hey, we just love our kids and we're going to be all blah, 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 and hey, and we had some good times together and, you know, there's always going to be a lot of love there. That whole kind of cringy fucking aren't we cool and choosing a photo in which she got final choice. So obviously I didn't look as good as she did. And,
let it go!
But the problem was, is that when I would see people...
I want to see the other photo. There's one where you're wearing a sombrero.
I've got them on my fucking phone. There's a couple where I'm pretty handsome.
Did you use that for your Bumble profile?
Yeah, I went through them the other day like, fucking hell.
I love it on dating apps where they just have a photo clearly of them in a jewelry and they've just got a bit of paint and they just wiped out their ex.
like Stalin did to Trotsky.
Yes! There's all these photos you're just scrolling through. It's like they've just like put like a smiley emoji over their ex-girlfriend. I was like, choose another photo, lads.
Because they haven't got any other photos because that's before all the hatred infested their faces and there's that kind of remnants of divorce.
Do you ever get ones where they're like, there's them, there's obviously four kids, and they've just blocked those out? Just, no children, no thanks.
Yeah, I know.
Like, all these people were killed.
Because my friends, they're the hostage situation photos that you get on. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's dreadful.
That was my question, really. Do you regret, would you advise someone going for it to do it?
I wouldn't advise
like
it. So what happened was then, is that people come up and go, hey, man, I saw that you and your partner split. It's so cool. You guys are so cool. And in my head, I'd be thinking, it's not cool. She's a bitch! I hate her! I'm so angry all the time!
There's another man wearing my pants!
There's a guy driving my fucking Passat! What's cool about this? I heard them! He sounded good!
I would! Yeah. Don't blame her!
I've had to give him a key! He's got my keys currently!
You should write a book about how not to get divorced.
Yeah, but I mean, every single divorce would be how not to do it.
Yeah.
Just for different ways.
Yeah.
I think it's just you get there.
It is this wonky little line.
Yeah.
And you make all the mistakes.
There,
yeah.
You know, maybe having a goal, like the thing is, we started off with a goal, which was for us to be happy together.
Yes.
Not happy together, but no. Happy to co-parent and be good for the kids. That yeah. was the plan. And then in the middle bit, we were like, fuck that ever happening.
Yeah.
We both said it.
Mm.
This is off.
Yeah.
We are never getting on.
Mm.
And then you revise it back down to a level of civility.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, I can maintain that.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, virtually or... I'm going to walk away from things that are potentially inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm being asked something and I can't do it, I'm going to be forthright in saying I can't do it and just know to put a boundary there.
Yeah.
That there are boundaries. So before there wasn't any boundaries, then there was... all boundaries, and now it's kind of all right, okay, yeah. Let's see where we are,
yeah,
and let's try and do it a bit more maturely. But mm. again, I'm saying this now, I'll come back on in 2 years' time and go, oh yeah, no, she died. She died, yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
Did she? No, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah. It's always hard to know.
Someone did something awful.
Yeah. She's not here anymore.
Okay.
But that's okay.
I'm in jail now, so...
So, we'll do that Zoom one.
Was I talking about boundaries last time? Yeah, that did not work.
And is this helpful? I feel like I'm your therapist now. I'm like doing mediation. Now you say to Sam what you've just heard.
No, I think this is really healthy because I think we all have great intentions when we're in that weird shock for the first couple of months is just shock. You're just kind of going, what the fuck just happened? I was on one particular path. I was like, yeah, I'm married to this guy and then the kids are going to do this and then we're going to get old and we're going to renovate the house and we're going to do... So you're on one particular trajectory that all of a sudden, through sometimes not your fault, sometimes it is your decision, you have to create a whole new path.
Yeah.
And that just fucks with you.
It's insane because it's like dying and being reborn as someone else. And you're
yes.
like, what? Everything you thought your life was going to be is now gone.
Yeah.
You know, you've in marriage, you have a lot of time to sort of think ahead of stuff like, oh, geez, what's it going to be like when I'm 50?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Or, God, you know, never going to do any of this. You know, so there are lots of positives. You go, oh, shit, all that stuff's opened up again.
Mm.
But also all that really secure stuff has gone away.
Yeah.
You know, you have to buy yourself a whole new wardrobe.
Yes, exactly.
And it's exciting and it's scary.
Yeah.
But it gets less. Like anything, you know, people die sometimes and then you're like, oh my God, I couldn't even imagine it.
Yeah.
And they're dead for like 2 years. You're like, yeah, a bit sad about it. You're like, but they died. You were absolutely gutted. You're like, yeah. Still, sad.
Yeah.
But
yeah. She was my nan. She was 100.
She was 100. She's like... Yeah, I'm over it. No,
yeah.
You're not over it. It's always going to be a thing.
Yes,
you know.
Absolutely. And Ellie, I think you described it as about a ball in a box. Is that right?
Oh, that's not something I made up. No, I read that somewhere and then probably appropriated it and presented
that
it to you
like
as
you.
If...
As yeah, that sounds like most of your output.
Yeah. It's just rebranded
yeah,
it.
So I read this thing, which is about grief. But I think, you know, that it's applicable. Mm. There's a lot of grief in what you're talking about. So when the incident first happens, whether it's the death or the breakup, the grief is like this huge ball inside the box. And it's like every time the ball touches the side of the box, that's pain.
Yeah.
And then over time, the ball, like a mouldy lime, let's say that. That's my
yes.
that's what I'm bringing to the party.
Yes.
It shrinks.
Until it gets brown and like a golf ball.
Like a testicle in a swimming pool. It shrinks.
Mm. Yes.
And so it hits the sides of the box less often.
Mm.
And so the pain is obviously less.
Yeah.
But the trick is, the smaller it gets, also you sort of forget about it. So then sometimes when it does hit the side of the box, it's more of a shock.
Surprise,
because it can hit you and blindside you, and that is its own kind of thing.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is you've got more pain to come, guys.
That is what I want to hear.
But the good news is it'll be a complete surprise and it'll absolutely fuck you up.
You're welcome.
That's so good.
But no, I just thought that's... Yeah, surely it's a relief, though, to know the ball is getting smaller.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those things, because you get through bits where you just wake up one day and go, I'm not sad. Wow,
yeah.
I'm not sad today. Mm. And there are just little milestones that you get and just going, oh, I'm just so happy. Instead of going, what am I lacking? It's what am I gaining? And it just...
The healing process is absolutely amazing because you can help it along, but, you know, you have to kind of... This is the thing, like the ball in the box thing is I was never much for positive thought and just assumed everything was going to go wrong. And I'm kind of stopping doing that. So like with, you know, how you feel about stuff and how you are at the moment, yeah, you're going to have moments more than likely where you're going to go, ah, fuck, that really stings at the moment, or that's hurtful, or something new happens, or there's a new revelation, or someone says something and it's shitty. Of course that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you're, you know, it's like stock markets. You're trending upwards. You're trending.
Yes.
When you look at it over time, it'll look like a straight line going up. Yeah. When you bring it up closer in the period of time, it's all just like a like electricity. But, you know, it's perspective. When you push out, it trends upwards.
Yeah.
So you're fine over time.
Yeah.
Like investments.
Yeah, you know,
don't invest in the short term, we're investing long term.
That's it. It's the long game.
So in terms of your boys as well, have you got any advice or what have you learned, I guess, from, you know, how you deal with the kids with all this? Like, how much do you share with them, and how do you manage it when you are feeling sad and you don't feel like being happy daddy or whatever it is?
Well, sometimes I'm just grumpy daddy, but then they'll laugh at me for being grumpy. They're amazing. I think they're incredibly resilient. They talk about having two homes. Mummy's place and Daddy and Dottie's house. They're desperate for me to marry Dottie. Emerson keeps making rings and making boxes and going, you have to take Dottie on a date. Like that, because he thinks going on a date is getting married.
Yes. Get to Nando's.
And, you know, back, he wants a brother or a sister. They both do.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Mummy make sure, you know, we try our best to have kind of rules that, you know, we have some differing opinions on some things. That's okay. It's not the end of the world. But they feel loved wherever they are.
Hmm.
They don't see animosity. They don't hear animosity. I don't think it's the end of the world, personally, if someone hears a row and it gets cleared up. I don't think it's the end of the world.
Well, I think we've solved divorce.
Can I just say, though, like, if I made jokes like along the way, like, I'm very... Again, I sound like I'm being a good two shoes, but the boy's mum is a fantastic mum.
Yeah,
and she only has their interests in heart. So, you know, I sort of referred to her as a bitch, but that was in a kind of trying to be funny bit. She's not a bitch. That was just my state of mind at the time.
No, she's not. I've met her. She's lovely. Whereas you are a wanker.
There you go. So I'm a wanker. So she's not on this podcast. So you know,
there's balance for you. We've done it. We've fixed it.
Balanced and fair, like Fox.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, is that, like, you can say that your ex is a good dad, but still think he's a cunt. So I think,
that's okay.
I mean, you wouldn't say that, obviously.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm just saying.
One could say that.
Well, I did
on Instagram, I kind of, what kind of prompted me to come off social media as well is we'd had this argument. Oh my God, it's awful. Should I tell this story? Okay, this makes me look really bad. That's fine. Can I tell? I've got time.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
It's your show, sort of.
Yeah. If we haven't got Ian McKellen coming in at 2:30 or anything.
Is he going to tell you a story about Black Lives Matter? So we went to a BLM protest and we took the boys. And we had little placards for the boys to hold. And it was up Anlie Hill in Crystal Palace. Everyone was spaced out. And I posted a picture of it on Instagram. And then my ex-wife got me in the way she always gets me. She goes, oh, I saw you were on a BLM march. I was like, yeah, that's completely irresponsible. And she tore me a new one about, like, because previously I'd had a go at her about not doing social distancing properly. So this was very much a kind of a payback moment, but maybe she was genuinely upset. I was like, it was all spaced. We were all wearing masks. It was all very careful. Anyway, I then made the mistake of writing on another Instagram post at the BLM march, their mother was absolutely furious.
Oh,
now, so I wrote it. I wrote it and I was like, and I sent it. I did not write it intending it to be that, but when I sent it, I was like,
oh no.
Because I was angry. And so I made her look like a racist. Mm-hmm. She's not a racist.
No.
That is not why she was cross. That was probably the moment where I was like, oh, that's rock bottom, dude. And her friends piled on. Like, they must have been telling each other. They didn't even follow me on Instagram, but they were like, you're a piece of shit. This is so you. Like, people I was like, used to have drinks with and stuff, like, this is so you. And I was like, oh no, this is awful.
Awesome.
Like, so, no, but it was fair enough. Yeah. It was fair enough. And so I took it down and I wrote an apology and I left an apology to her up for 24 hours, which is longer than the thing was up. which is fair. But then a lot of my sort of followers are like, you don't have to apologise. Like, guys, oh, I really no, do. No.
Yeah,
I do have to apologise because you can't just go calling the mother of your children.
This is not men's lives matter. This is no.
Yeah. So if you hated me for the Val Kilmer stuff, or the Scientology stuff, you just wait until I call my ex-wife a racist for no reason.
That's a shit thing to do.
It was a shit thing to do.
I'm not in any way going to try and say, there's no buts. That's a shit thing to do. But thank you for fucking just being honest about that. Because do you know what? We've all done shit things. I mean, that, but we've...
but just like, what was I thinking?
We've all done shit that we really regret. And you try to make it rupture and repair, man.
The temptation to lash out on social media and use it as this kind of tool to engage others to like on your side, like, you know, whether you do it anonymously, like, excuse me guys, just a poll, if someone said this, do you think that would be completely out of order? Like, you know, which we have both done. So I kind of thought, if I'm doing that in at any point, that's got to stop.
No, exactly. And I'm very conscious that I have a platform and there's lots of people listening to the podcast and all that sort of stuff, but there's, you know, I think it's just about choosing. You know, yes, you'll get an instant hit, won't you? You'll get an instant likes or whatever.
Righteousness.
But what is the long... What's the long game? What is
all her mates pile on and you feel like a piece of shit. Like, all those people who are at your wedding that you really liked, who you slightly miss.
Okay, bye.
God. This is awful.
That's the end. Oh, well, never mind.
It's, you learn your lesson.
You do.
It's never easy, is it? That's the fucking lesson.
But, you know, I wasn't going to say that, but I thought it's quite nice to bookend it with that because I'm very conscious that, because I've done like other podcasts where we've talked about splitting up and stuff. And I'm very try to be, the temptation is if it's coming from your side, even if you think you're being balanced, you're not being balanced. You're going to kind of paint yourself. So I try not to paint myself in too rosy light. No, not out of some sort of modesty, like, well, I guess I'm just trying to be humble. But because, you know... I was, as anyone is in a split up at moments, a genuine piece of shit.
I never was.
Well,
but, you know, that's okay.
No, but then I'm a genuine piece of shit, so I couldn't help it.
I'm learning to be more shitty,
guys.
So yeah.
You're both still donkeys.
Thank you.
Okay, it doesn't really matter who did the biggest shit.
You both got big, flappy donkey vaginas.
Both wearing your little fucking straw hat. Shall we have a quick Scummy Mummy confession?
We should.
What do you think? Have you got one for us?
One of the things I got as a bonus for being separated was two cats, because my ex was allergic to cats and I was a grown up about that. So I got some highly allergic cats.
See, do you know what I mean? Okay, I haven't done anything wrong apart from getting two animals that make him physically ill.
In a cute way.
I mean, that's so passive aggressive.
Isn't it?
It's beautiful.
But it's for
beautiful.
The kids.
But there's cats. It's the kittens.
Cute. Anyway, I've been a bit smug because I got some really nice cats and they've been really great, okay? And I've just been going, oh, they're so cute and they've added so much love. Anyway, yesterday, just before I went off to the eye hospital... I've got a sore eye and I don't like to mention it. I was running late and I thought, I'll just check that everything's okay in the house. One cat had killed a mouse and put it on Hugo's rug.
Good
and
cat.
The other cat had done a sick in Matilda's room on her rug. So
lovely.
I like had like about 3 minutes to pick up a dead mouse, some sick, try and clean the rugs. And I was like, I am not happy with my life choices.
No, bad cats.
My confession is, you guys were here for it, but I'm going to share it with the listener.
Yeah.
So my husband has just started a new job, which is very exciting because he's not had a job. He's a contractor and he was between contracts at the start of lockdown. So he's had no work for like 6-7 months. So he started this new job just last week and it's all very intense and it's very exciting. There's a big crisis at work today. So I went upstairs to get my headphones in the office, which was my office. Obviously now it's his fucking office. So that just went in one day and it's like, oh, it's your office now, is it? Okay, that's fine. So I went in the office and he was like, okay, I'm about to have this crisis call, this Zoom call. Like, do not come in here. Like, do not ask me for anything. Just, okay. And I was like, okay, fine. It's like with the big boss, really important. Okay, so I got back downstairs and then I realised I'd left the little spare recorder in the desk drawer. And I was like, I've got to get it. I have to. There's just nothing I can do. So I went back up to the loft and then I tried to, as quietly as I could, open the loft door and then I tried to crawl across the floor. I did crawl across the floor to the desk and then I just heard someone on this Zoom call go, Is that a woman crawling in your office?
Oh, my God!
And he'd angled the camera so that you could just see me crawling across the floor.
Mate.
Oh, my God, Ellie.
And he had to go, yeah, that's my wife. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm not allowed to stand up because he doesn't like to look at my face.
This is how she must enter all rooms.
Oh, so yeah, so that's my confession. I really embarrassed my husband, but never mind. Sam, have you got a confession for us?
I really feel like I've confessed quite enough. I implied my wife was racist on social media.
That's quite bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
And just again, for legal reasons, she is not a racist.
She is not a racist.
She's a lovely lady.
She's a lovely lady.
She's a great mother. Yeah.
Yes.
Well done.
Well, that's fair enough, Sam. I think,
if that's okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and being so, being honest, man.
Oh, you're so funny. Like, of all the guests we've had, you're like in the top, 15?
Yeah, definitely.
That's quite.
Out of 200. That's quite a lot. Oh,
okay. I mean, I really hope that number's going to be smaller. You
don't. 7.
I'd go 5.
Okay, but now you're lying, because that's not your initial. Oh.
Okay. Anyway.
Just women lying to me again. Oh, no. No, I'm angry again. I knew it would wear off, you bloody racists. I'll fucking get you on Twitter.
Oh, until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Children.
You haven't said mangina yet. Can we talk?
Bumgina.
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 Oh, this is an argument that Sam and I had on television.
I can solve it.
Okay, go ahead.
I was right. On the TV show, I got confused because, you know, you get poo on a chicken egg. Chicken poo on a chicken egg.
Yeah.
You think, it comes out of its bum then. But then you think, why would you give birth out your bum? Because a chicken is sometimes in a chicken egg.
Yeah.
So it must come out the vagina.
Yeah.
The chicken's vagina. But then is it shitting on it afterwards? That happens, mums, right?
Yeah, guys.
All power to the mums.
We're okay with that.
Yeah, it happens.
It's nature.
Yeah. It's disgusting. I wish you'd stop doing it. But,
you're embarrassing yourselves.
Why you couldn't just go before, I don't know.
No, exactly. Hold it in.
But it turns out that chickens do have bumginas.
No.
They've got, all birds do, they've got multi-use holes. It's called a cloaca.
That's the name of my first child.
Cloaca, yeah.
Oh, you must have cloaca over it. Oh, yes. God. You must have
cloaca is, yeah. Eat your olives. Cloaca.
Leave gonorrhea alone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.